I don't want us just to tell them how we felt. I want us to tell them what we did, said Kamala Harris, the truth we hold in American Journey. And so do I. On Thursday, the 19th of September 2019, I was sitting in the New South Wales Parliament listening to an excruciating debate on the abortion bill. The debate was becoming circular and all the key players were exhausted. Any hope that this would be a benign legislative change to remove abortion from the criminal code had long gone. It was feral. I was booked on a flight to London on the 22nd of September, a reservation already twice deferred because of this debate. After 30 hours in the chamber and the prospect of another extension, I sent a text to the Minister for Health at 6 p.m. when the session ended, asking, when will this be done? His response was, we have to go through this, but we are nearly there. That night, the Premier closed the debate down to further extensions. The general consensus was that it would finally have a safe passage. I decided to trust the process and leave as planned. I was looking forward to this flight as an opportunity to sleep and reflect on the 2 years of campaigning that had led to what was an anticipated triumph. I watched the rest of the debate in New South Wales on live stream in the United Kingdom and could now relax, secure in the new reality that no woman or her doctor will go to jail and be treated as criminals for this particular medical procedure. It had been a long, hard slog, 50 years in fact. It is a story to treasure and hold close when we feel cynical or disbelieving that planned change never happens. At a personal political level, it was the accomplishment of my life to lead the pro-choice campaign on this result. I never doubted it was the right thing to do, and as my friend Susan Ryan kept saying, just keep going. I had an illegal abortion in 1964, which I had never disclosed until I did in a national newspaper in 1972. Putting this information in the public domain was a deliberate political act that challenged the police to lay charges on the women who had signed the double-page spread advertisement for their criminal behaviour. At that time, abortion was a crime for both the woman and her doctor, abortionist. 80 of us had outed ourselves. The police did not lay charges. It was liberating to stare down the secrecy and fear that had surrounded our actions. It was a relief to publicly own this and to refuse to accept shame and regret. Strength came from standing our ground collectively and not being bluffed and intimidated by threats. It reminded me of when I was an adolescent and I refused to be diminished by the boy who told me my father was a drunk. My response was, I know. I refused to let him destroy me with those words. He never mentioned it again. Our culture offers us inner scripts and codes for our lives. If women of my generation had accepted these and stayed inside the prescribed boundaries, Australia would be a very different place. Changing the culture changed the script and gave us opportunities unknown to our mothers and grandmothers. But we can't take for granted that the trajectory for change will be as we wish unless we defend and fight for it. I have learned there is a cause for everyone somewhere, and it matters so much to you, you will march for it, you're on your way. And even amid the tough parts of life are moments of humour, fun and satisfaction that come from being an engaged citizen. There is less I and more us, and we learn to keep our head and heart connected. We learn to say yes to opportunity and risk and worry later how to manage it. As Glenn Tomasetti sang through the 70s, don't be too polite, girls, show a little fight. Or as Gandhi advised, be the change you wish to see in the world. Memoirs remain a powerful way of sharing stories. There is a hunger to hear from those who have gone before us and in whose footsteps we follow. We ask them, tell us how you did it. Currently, I'm thinking of the women in Port Kembla who challenged the BHP steelworks and won their Long Jobs for Women campaign, 1980-1994. How wonderful it was to see the 2020 movie Women of Steel, which tells their story. Often it is in the writing of a memoir that you find out what encouraged you to just keep going. It has been 22 years since I first wrote about my life, and being 60 is very different to being 80. For starters, I think anyone under 65 is young. The expectations of appropriate lives for women over 60s are being revisited. and I'm really happy to be part of it. At 80, we have a long view and the past often seems to be repeating. It sometimes feels like shopping for clothes when there is nothing you haven't seen or worn before, but then you're surprised. But secrets and lies are uncovered. For instance, it seems that no one knew my father had been court-martialed in 1943. How could that be? Had I not been questioning discrepancies in his recorded birth dates and gone to check his army records, I may never have found out. It has profoundly changed my view of my father. When I read his testimony, I could hear his voice, something I found poignant and moving. When I wrote Dan Fence Me In, I was astonished to think I could write a book that sold. This will be the last memoir. I've run out of song titles.